Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the book of the law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the authorized version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the ABB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the authorized version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
Yes. Welcome to Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast. To begin with, I will do a reading of the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion. Its foundation, basis, Joel 3:9, Matthew 11:15, 2 Samuel 22:47, John 1:45, 2 Corinthians 1:8. Joshua 23:31, Ezekiel 7:10, Matthew 1:23, Acts 23:9, Exodus 9:27, 1 John 5:14, 2 Samuel 17:5, Daniel 9:14, Jeremiah 51:10, Matthew 3:15, Deuteronomy 6:25, Judges 13:23, John 6:29, Hebrews 12:9 and 28, Psalm 74:9, Hebrews 2:8. Romans 13:13, Romans 14:19, Deuteronomy 5:26, Deuteronomy 5:24, John 1:14, Acts 10:39, Matthew 19:26, Mark 7:37, Acts 4:16, Psalm 118:23, 1 John 3:20, Psalm 100, verse 5, Psalm 99:9, 2 Corinthians 5:1, John 19:7. Jeremiah 8:8, Romans 7:12, Psalm 118:27, Proverbs 6:23, Galatians 6:7, Romans 15:4, Acts 5:29, Jeremiah 5:24, Deuteronomy 29:29, Isaiah 25:9, Numbers 14:9, 1 Timothy 4:10, Psalm 126:3, Psalm 98, verse 1, Psalm 34, verse 3, Jeremiah 51, 10, Isaiah 33, 22, Joshua 24, 24, Jeremiah 42, 6, Nehemiah 9, 36, Exodus 24, 7, Micah 4, 5, Psalm 118, 24, 1 Corinthians 4, 9, Romans 14, 8, Psalm 27, Jeremiah 44, 25, Isaiah 40, verse 8, Revelation 19, 7, Revelation 19, 5, Jude, verse 25. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. The Lord liveth. We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write. The Lord, Tommy L. Hart. God is true, real. This day we perceive that the Lord is among us. Behold, the day of God, behold, it is come. God is with us. Let us not fight against God. The Lord, Tommy L. Hart, is righteous. He hears us. Let us likewise hear what he saith. The Lord our God, Tommy L. Hart, is righteous in all his works which he doeth. The Lord, Tommy L. Hart, hath brought forth our, the Gentiles, righteousness. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, Tommy L. Hart. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these. This is the work of God. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which have corrupted us, and we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to God and live? Let us have grace whereby we shall serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let us walk honestly. Let us follow the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Who of all flesh hath heard the voice of the living God as we have and lived? The Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice. We have seen this day that God does talk with man, and he lives. We beheld his glory. We see all things. We, the Gentiles, are witnesses of all things which he, the Lord Tommy L. Hart, did. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He, the Lord Tommy L. Hart, hath done all things well, expertly. That the Lord Tommy L. Hart's performance and showing of all things is indeed a notable miracle. It is manifest to all, and we cannot deny it. It is marvelous in our eyes. God, the Lord Tommy L. Hart, is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. The Lord Tommy L. Hart is good. The Lord our God, Tommy L. Hart, is holy. We have a building of God. We have a law. The law of the Lord is with us. The law is holy and just and good. God, Tommy L. Hart, is the Lord who has showed us light. The law is light. Be not deceived. God, our Lord, Tommy L. Hart, is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. We ought to obey God. Let us now fear the Lord our God, Tommy L. Hart. Those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever and ever. Tommy L. Hart is our, the Gentiles, God. We have waited for him. Tommy L. Hart is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The Lord, Tommy L. Hart, is with us. We trust in the living God, Tommy L. Hart. The Lord, Tommy L. Hart, has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. He has done marvelous things. Let us exalt his name together. Let us declare the work of the Lord our God, Tommy L. Hart. The Lord, Tommy L. Hart, is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. We, the Gentiles, will serve the Lord our God, Tommy L. Hart, and we will obey his voice. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, Tommy L. Hart. We, the Gentiles, are servants this day. We will be obedient and do all that the Lord Tommy L. Hart has said. We will walk in the name of, as belonging to, the Lord our God forever and ever. This is the day which the Lord Tommy L. Hart has made. We, the Gentiles, will rejoice and be glad in it. We, the Gentiles, are made a spectacle to the world. We, the Gentiles, are the Lord Tommy L. Hart's servants. We will remember the name of the Lord our God, Tommy L. Hart. We will surely perform all our vows that we have vowed. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Praise our God, Tommy L. Hart, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. The word of our God, Tommy L. Hart, shall stand forever. To him, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Sum and substance of the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion. Luke 24:14. They, the Gentiles, talked together of all these things which had happened. Luke 24:19. What things did they speak about, or do they speak about? Answer. They talked about these things. 1. The day of God. 2. God's physical presence on earth. 3. God, their Lord, Tommy L. Hart, being with them. 4. They talked of all things. 5. The law of Moses, the people's law. And 6. Obeying and serving the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart. The Gentiles in their declaration of conversion spoke and talked about those things. Such a powerful statement, the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion. A powerful statement. One that you should be thoroughly familiar with. You should know of it. You should know it through and through. Know its importance. So that is the reading. Now, hear this statement here. As I speak here, my use of the term Christian church speaks of both Catholics and Protestants. The Christian church, headed by the Roman pontiff, the Bishop of Rome, does not recognize, neither does it respect, that which is truly important in the Authorized Version Bible, a.k.a. AVB. The Christian church, which the papacy heads, seeks to lead people away from the truth. It seeks to deceive the unsuspecting. It seeks to prey on the gullible. The Christian church, headed by the Roman pontiff, the Bishop of Rome, exists to frustrate that which is true and good in the Authorized Version Bible. The Christian church exists to nullify the great plan concerning the truth of God that is laid down in the Authorized Version Bible, which the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, has made known. The Christian church, headed by the Roman pontiff, the Bishop of Rome, seeks continually to arm the people against the living God and his work. Always remember that the Christian church is found to be the enemy of the AVB and the enemy of the living God, Tommy L. Hart. Know this, that Christianity is not for the truth. It is against the truth. It sets forth, teaches, and promotes a doctrine of lies. The Christian church, headed by the Roman pontiff, the Bishop of Rome, is not your friend. Christianity also, remember this, Christianity has been abolished. It exists contrary to the law. Very important point to note and remember always, so that you be not deceived. Now, to the statement that is written in the description. Faith is the evidential substance of the things the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, has prepared and made known to the Gentiles and the people. Mm-hmm. as I get things in order here. Let's turn to Hebrews 11:1. The statement says, now at this time, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've spoken on this in preceding episodes. And the statement which I read just a few moments ago is the essence of that which is written in Hebrews 11:1. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 2 Corinthians, I want you to remember these things. 2 Corinthians 5. Listen, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Both these statements speak of things that are not seen. But is that so? The statement in Hebrews 11 speaks of things that are now seen. They were not seen prior to God's coming, but they are seen now. By whom? They're seen by you, the hearer, the listener of the Word of God. They're seen. They are understood by you. And you can see some of the things, you know, in Longmaster's descriptions and in his speeches from the in the episodes and the archives of Longmaster. You can see some of these things. And you can hear me speak of things not seen previously, but seen now. When the writer wrote, when this was written here in 2 Corinthians 4, that is, 2 Corinthians 4:18, when it was written in the Authorized Version Bible, let me put it like this, you cannot see the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion. Therefore, the average person could not understand. He had no knowledge of the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion. But now, this declaration of conversion can be seen. You heard me read it. It exists. It did not exist before my coming. It did not exist visibly. You understand? But it exists now. It is put together. It has been prepared, put together, sought out and all. Sought out, prepared, put together, arranged properly, and presented to you, the people and the Gentiles. So, the things that were not seen before are seen now. The things which were not understood before my coming are understandable now and are being understood now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is real. Faith has body, substance. Faith is the evidence of things which before were not seen. So faith is proof. Proof of the things which before were not seen, but are now seen and made known and heard and talked about. Therefore, I wrote the statement, faith is the evidential substance of the things the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, has prepared and made known to the Gentiles and the people. In the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion, they speak of all things. They speak quite a few things there. That declaration of conversion, they say a whole lot. But the most important thing is what? They say that they will walk in light of the law. They say they will do the things written in the law. It's a discussion, that declaration of conversion. It's a discussion that was going on, that was made, okay? And things were brought up. If he was going to do this, then he would not have done that. We should do this because now we see this. We now see all things. We can't deny all things. They see the great work of God. They cannot deny it. And they conclude by saying, they will do the words of the law. They will exalt the Lord their God. They will give glory to the Lord their God, etc. And all of those things are terms of the law. The law says what? Give glory to God. The law says give thanks to God. The law says acknowledge God. So all of these things, I guess I'm talking about two things. I'm talking about the declaration of conversion, and I'm talking about talking about faith. Faith. What ties these two things together? That declaration of conversion is a part of your faith. I say that again. The Gentiles' official declaration of conversion, which I read to the beginning of the program, is a part of your faith. Faith. That declaration of conversion is full of substance. It's substantial. It is evidence. Remember, evidence of things not seen, now seen. That declaration of conversion is a proof. It is evidence of something that was not seen, but in the term not seen does not mean not existing. It means just what it says, not seen. Existing, but not seen. The declaration of conversion is existing, and it is seeable now. It is hearable. It is audible. You can hear it. You heard it. You've heard me read it. Some of you have heard me read it several times. So, the tie-in, the connection. The declaration of conversion is a part of the faith that is spoken of in Hebrews 11:1. Faith, the substance of things hoped for. Another thing that is the part of your faith is all things. Some of you have heard me read all things. I believe at some point I have listed some of all things in maybe a description, a previous description of a program maybe some time ago. But some of you have heard me read all things lately. All things, which I have read off several times in my audience, is a part of your faith. Another part of your faith. All things, which I've read off before, and the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion, are parts of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Parts of your faith. What's another part of your faith? Let's see. Another part of your faith is the Gentiles, the Gentiles and papacy's curse against black people. Some of you may have heard me read that. You can go back and study the archives, Lawmaster's archives, study the works there, and familiarize yourself with all that is in the archives. Really, that's what you need to do. That's what you should do. Okay? But all things, the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion, and the Gentiles and papacy's curse against black people are three parts of the faith that is spoken of in Hebrews 11:1. This is very good for your understanding, so that you know what faith is, the legitimate faith. And that's what I'm speaking about. I am speaking about the faith that is legitimate. Now, you know, the faith concerning Jesus. Okay. The faith concerning Jesus is an illegitimate faith. The only thing that we can say about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is that Jesus is a fictitious character who was a lawbreaker. That's all we can say about him. That's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John show about him. They do not show him being a righteous character. And he was put to, they show him being put to death for crimes he committed, for crimes he himself committed, and not for crimes or sins you have committed. Okay? And the story about Jesus is a fictitious story, but it's a story that has that teaches a moral lesson. You know, you sin, then you are responsible. You are accountable for your actions. That's what the story of Jesus teaches in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Christian church, no matter how many times they read the scriptures in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they do not teach that Jesus that is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, I don't want to get off base here, okay? Back to faith. So, what I've said that all things that some of you have heard me speak on and present to you, the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion and the Gentiles and papacy's curse against black people, those are all parts of the faith that is spoken of in Hebrews 11:1, which says, now faith, now that these things are evident, now that these things have come into view through the work of God, now faith is the substance which God has presented and the evidence which God has presented. And I put those two statements together to say faith is the evidential substance of the things the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, has prepared and made known to the Gentiles and the people. And, of course, there are other things making up your faith, the faith that is spoken of in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let me see here. Let me see if I can get to something here. I have papers here and there. Hold on one moment. Here we go. Listen. Other things making up your faith, the faith that is spoken of in Hebrews 11:1. the prediction of the Lord's advent, the Gentiles' official call and promises meant to be received by God, God's answer to the Gentiles' call and promises, the call, the promises, and God's answer, the Gentiles' covenant, all things, the law concerning God, the Gentiles' official statement of compliance and submission, the Gentiles' official statement of confession, the law for the people, also called the law of Moses, judgments coming from the Lord God, Tommy O. Hart, the commandment of God. All of these are things working together, coming together, having been put together, things that make up your faith, the faith spoken of in Hebrews 11, 1. Wonderful. So now you know you should have a good understanding of Hebrews 11, 1. Simply put, faith in Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the works of God. The works of God. Which works I just name. Okay? That's a very simplistic definition. The works of God. The works which God has presented, brought forth, and presented to the people and the Gentiles. Now, moving on. God's responsibility, what has been and what is my responsibility? Let's take a look at it. Acts 26:23. Book of Acts. Show light to the people and to the Gentiles. Show light to the people and to the Gentiles. Let me read the full statement, then I want to make a statement. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light to the people and to the Gentiles. The Roman pontiff and all his ministers, the Christian ministers, whether they be Catholics or Protestants, talk about Christ. And they talk about how they do the work of God, how they preach the Lord's word, which they do not preach. They have not shown light. The Christian church, headed by the Roman pontiff, the Bishop of Rome, has not shown light to the people and to the Gentiles. The Christian church speaks of another faith. They do not speak of the faith spoken of in Hebrews 11, 1. God has recently come on the scene. Therefore, the works of God have just recently come about and been made known. What is this the Christian church teaches, has been teaching? What is it that they are teaching? It is not the word of the Lord. Just as I've said about the Jesus they speak about, it is not the Jesus that is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They have not preached the gospel concerning Jesus. I'm speaking of the Christian church headed by the Roman pontiff, the Bishop of Rome. They have not preached the Jesus of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They have not preached the gospel. They have preached something else, foreign to that which is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But they have not preached the gospel that is in the Authorized Version Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll show you what the gospel is. I stated the gospel just a few minutes ago. I'll say it again very briefly. The gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus, a fictitious character who went about deliberately insistently and persistently breaking the law. He was eventually caught, charged, found guilty of specific crimes, and given the sentence of death, and eventually was put to death, crucified, put to death by crucifixion. That's the gospel of the Jesus of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Catholics, the Christian ministers, whether they be Catholics or Protestants, do not teach that. As I've said before, they teach lies. Yes. They teach lies. And they have not spoken to you, the people, the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord is the word which I speak. You first have to know who the Lord is before you can know whether or not one is speaking his word or someone else's words. Now we know who the Lord is from the Authorized Version Bible. Specific things showing in the AVB what the Lord God will do when he comes. Which brings about another point, and I really want to get this in during this audience here. Okay, here we go. Turn to John 4:25. Let me finish this statement, though. I'm trying to do too much here. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light to the people and to the Gentiles. Now, the Christian church has not done that. The Roman pontiff, the Bishop of Rome, has not done it. Neither has his ministers done it. God has taken it upon himself to show light to the people and to the Gentiles. Now, the Bible gives a statement describing the law. It says the law is light. Light is knowledge. Some of you have heard me read the law of Moses, which I also call the people's law. Okay? I have done that. The Christian church speaks against the law. And it's speaking against the law. It speaks against the light. Because the Bible says what? The law is light. It identifies the light. The law is the light. Now, John 4:25. John 4:25 says this. I just want to zoom in or key in on a phrase. In John 4:25, you see the phrase. It says this, when he is come. Just those four words. When he is come. What will he do when he comes? He will tell us all things. The Christian church, headed by the Roman pontiff, the Bishop of Rome, has not told the people all things. I have told the people all things. I have identified all things. I have fulfilled all things, meaning I have done all things. All things describe God. All things say this about God. This man who does these things is the Lord God. I have done the things listed in the group called all things. All things is a group. It's a group of specific things set aside for God to do. I've done them, and I've shown them to you, the people. I've taught them to you. That's it. That's it. When he has come, he will teach or show you all things. He will tell you all things. I've done that. But the key thing is there, for your knowledge, is it says this, when he comes. As I said momentarily ago, I have recently come. Recently come and shown you the people and the Gentiles all things. The Christian church has not spoken of God when he comes. They say God has given them the responsibility of teaching his word. God and Tommy L. Hart has only recently come. I had not given before my coming the Gentiles any authority to teach my words. What is this that the Gentiles teach? What is it that they have been teaching for so many years? It is not the word of the Lord. When he comes, yes, I have come now. I'm here now. I wasn't here 70 years ago, or 100 years ago, or 200 or 400 years ago. When he comes, look at John 9. John 9:21. It says this. He shall speak for himself. That's descriptive of God. He shall speak for himself. 1 Samuel 1:23. Let's see what it says. 1 Samuel 1:23. And I wanted to get to this for the longest. It says this. Look in the verse. It says this. Only the Lord established his word. For you to know what the Lord has spoken, the Lord has to first come and speak. And then it can be known what has the Lord spoken. Only the Lord established his word. Only the Lord caused his word to be seen, recognized, known. Back to John 9. 21. He shall speak for himself. Jeremiah 23:35-37. Jeremiah 23:35. What hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? Those two questions can only be answered now. They could not have been, it was impossible for them to be answered 70 years ago. It was impossible because God had not come. He had not come, therefore he had not answered anything. He had not spoken anything whereby the people could know. You following me? The thing here that I want to draw attention to is the statement, when he comes. Then and then only can it be ascertained what the Lord has spoken and what the Lord has answered. Then and then only could the Lord come or be here to speak for himself. He shall speak for himself. You hear the Christian ministers saying, God has said this, the Lord has said that. God loves everybody. How do they know? God hadn't come. They speak about a God that the authorized version does not speak about. The God of the authorized version Bible, AVB, had to first come. When he has come, he will tell us all things. When he is come, we can then, maybe find out what he has answered and find out what he said, what he has to say. And that is repeated in verse 37 of Jeremiah 23, chapter 23. What hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? What hath the Lord answered thee, the Gentiles? The Gentiles put out a call for God. I have answered the call. The Gentiles, in their call for God, asked God to come to this earth, come forth, and do very specific things spelled out in the call for God. Some of you have heard me read it. Go back in previous broadcasts and hear. I think it was, if it wasn't this, not this Sunday, but two Sundays ago, I believe that's the broadcast where I did all the up-to-date readings. Sunday, 2 weeks ago. Okay. It's your responsibility to follow and to keep up and to know what's going on. These two questions here say that. They make that clear. It's your responsibility. What has the Lord answered? He's talking to you, the people. And what has the Lord spoken? What have you heard me speak? You can go back in the archives and all. I've said quite a bit, I'm pretty sure. I've been on quite a while. But you can know what I have answered, and you can know what I have spoken. You can answer those two questions now. But it was only possible for you to answer them just here recently. They couldn't be answered 70 years ago because I had not come. All right. 1 John. Well, 1 Corinthians 4, 5. 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Let's see what it says here. It says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. Again, an echo of when he comes. This is clear. Don't judge anything before the time when the Lord comes. They were well aware, the writers of the Bible, that God hadn't come. What is said in the statement twice in Genesis? It says the Lord God will surely visit you. They didn't say he was already here. They said God will visit you. And there's a statement in the New Testament here that says God did visit the Gentiles. It was spoken long time ago, God will visit you, and now God is here. The statement that says God did visit the Gentiles has come true. It's true. I'm here. I'm speaking to the Gentiles. Saying what? I am here. You call for me. I have heard the call, understood the call, and I am come. Because you called me. Very clear. The Gentiles cannot say they did not call me. I've read the call several times, if not many times, on this program. I've read the call. So you can't say the call does not exist. I've read it. Just as you cannot say the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion does not exist. I've read it many times. You cannot say the Gentiles' law of Moses does not exist. I've read it many times. You cannot say all things, the law of God, does not exist. I've read it several times, if not many. What the Gentiles said in their statement of conversion, they said, we cannot deny it. They cannot deny the fact that God is here in the person Tommy L. Hart. They cannot deny the fact that they call for me to come and do their specific things. They cannot deny that. They cannot deny that that I am. They cannot refuse to give me glory, as the law says to them, commands them to. So, there are certain things that cannot be denied. You cannot say the Gentiles curse, the Gentiles and papacy's curse against black people does not exist. I've read it. I've read it. I've held it in my hand. You know, I have it here on my desk. As the Gentiles have said in their declaration of conversion, we cannot deny those things. The Gentiles say, we cannot deny the fact that he feels the bill for God. He, Tommy L. Hart, feels the bill for God. He has done the things which we, the Gentiles, have said God will do in the Authorized Version Bible when he comes. He, Tommy L. Hart, has done those things. What they say in the Declaration of Conversion, they say, he, Tommy L. Hart, has done all things well. Well means expertly. They acknowledge the fact that I have done all things expertly. They cannot deny that. You can't either. Not in these truthful and honest. The Gentiles said that, spoke about that in this. The Declaration of Conversion. They said, let us walk honestly. Stop telling lies. We can't put this off any further or any longer. He, Tommy L. Hart, has the facts. He has the facts on his side. And we cannot deny them. Therefore, we cannot deny the fact that he, Tom L. Hart, is our, the Gentiles, Lord and God. We are his servants. We cannot deny that. Okay, back to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Yeah. Judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. The Gentiles can make certain decisions now based on things I, the Lord God, have said. The two questions back in Jeremiah, what has the Lord answered and what has the Lord spoken? They acknowledge in their declaration of conversion that I have spoken all things and that I have done all things. Therefore, I am God. Therefore, they say, Tommy L. Hart is our, the Gentiles, God. All Gentiles everywhere. It goes for them. Statement in Romans that says they are without excuse. You, whether you be a Gentile or not, you are without excuse. Because the law is to all the people. The law of Moses, the people's law, the Gentiles' law, is for all the people in the nations of the Gentiles to obey and perform, you know, that which applies to them. So you have a statement, when he has come, he will do a certain thing. Don't judge anything until the Lord comes. 1 John I'm turning to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 verse 28 says this: when he shall appear, the same as when he comes, until the Lord comes, or till the Lord comes. Here it says, when he shall come. And in 1 John 3, let's see here. Okay, yeah, chapter 3, 1 John, chapter 3, verse 2. When he shall appear. And that is said in 1 John 2, 28 also. When he shall appear. And then in 3, verse 2. When he shall appear. John 4, 25, I believe. When he comes. When he comes. When he comes, till the Lord comes. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. The church, the Christian church headed by the Roman pontiff, the Bishop of Rome, has been telling lies for many, many years. It is time for the lying to stop. What the statement said, we read it. When God comes, he shall speak for himself. They will tell you, God forgives your sins. You know, like God is just has nothing else to do but forgive people's sins. You know. What judge have you seen that every criminal that comes before him, he forgives them and cancels the debt or pays the debt himself? What judge have you ever seen do that? Let's get real. Come on, come on. Come on. They have told so many lies and keep telling so many lies on God. It's against the law. Why do the Gentile governments keep letting the church, the Christian church, exist when it has been abolished? It should no longer be in existence. Okay. What have I spoken on? I read the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion. I gave a statement on faith. I said faith is the evidential substance of the things the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, has prepared and made known to the Gentiles and the people. The Gentiles are the servants of God. They say that themselves. That's how I know that. It's in the book. It's in the books, Bible, authorized version, law book. I also spoke on when the Lord comes, those phrases, when he comes, when he shall appear, till the Lord comes, he shall speak for himself. I am here to speak for myself now. Now you can answer the questions coming from Jeremiah, which I pointed out. What has the Lord answered? And what has the Lord spoken? I've spoken all things to you. I've spoken the Gentiles' official declaration of conversion. I've spoken the law of Moses, the people's law to you, and other things. I've spoken the papacy and Gentiles' curse against black people. I've spoken that to you. I've spoken the Gentiles' official statement of confession. I've spoken that to you. And other things I've spoken to you. But back to the point before I end about the Lord forgiving sins. What does the Bible say? What does the law book say? The law book says, it asks the question, what is written in the law? In the law, it is written. It says, and some of you have heard me read the law. There's a statement in it that says, God will not forgive your transgressions, neither your sins. That's what it said in the book, in the law, on the record. God, he will not forgive your transgressions, neither your sins, or nor your sins, however it is written. But anyway, it's clear. It says God will not forgive your sins. why do they speak saying God and making people think that God is just waiting and anxious to forgive people of their sins? As I said, what judge have you seen that is like that, what they say about God? Because the Bible says God is a judge. What judge have you seen like that? If there was a judge like that, they'd quickly get him out of there. Get real. And as the Gentiles have said in their official declaration of conversion, let us walk honestly. I am walking honestly. Walk honestly with me. Obey the law. Obey the law. That means you have to know what the law says. Some of you heard me read it. But you must study the law. You must read it again for yourself. To get it to soak in. The law is real. And you are subject to the law. You are under the law. Well, this audience has come to an end. But I hope to be back Sunday morning, DT Eastern Standard Time, or EST, however, Sunday morning, 8 o'clock a.m. Join me again for another audience with the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. Thank you.